I have good news for you tonight. You want to know how I know? Because I fought for it. When the Lord quickened my spirit over this, I had been seeking Him in how to move into more anointing, into a deeper calling, how to grow. If you don't want to grow, this isn't for you tonight. But if you want to grow, God has brought this forth to you. Let's read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 6 through verse 14. You bear with my voice and my stamina. I know God's going to take care of it. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is where? In thee, by the putting on of my hands, or whoever's hands touched you the day God gave it to you. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's time that we get into some exchanging. It's time we go back to Walmart and tell them, I ain't taking this depression. You can have it back. I want my money back, devil. You're not going to get me that same old way. He didn't give us the capacity to walk afraid. You can sure do it, but it's not for you. He said for you to walk in power, in love. That's important too. And a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called, hallelujah, somebody ought to shout it right then, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own, say this word with me, purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The words that God gave me when I was praying, and as he began to reveal these scriptures to me, he spoke this phrase into my heart. He said, this is why I made you. This is why I made you. I began to pray, and sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been there, you reflect on where you are in your obedience, in your calling, and what you're doing. And then you get over here and you compare it against the things that you're dealing with and wondering if this over here is of any benefit to this over here. Has anybody ever been there before? I've been there lately and been asking God to give me clarity and to show me the way so that I no longer be hindered by this stuff over here. That I let this stuff over here do the good work. And when I was praying, he showed me, this is why I made you. Let's read on. I want you to understand and pay attention to that verse that we just read. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given by who? Christ Jesus. We would not have purpose without Jesus Christ. That's why we have a world of people that are lost without direction. Without the relationship to Jesus Christ, they do not walk with purpose. We have children today that are wandering around in the world of sex and drugs and temptation, doing whatever they can to be accepted. We're living in a world where people will steal from you to get high. We're living in a world where people will go and lie to the doctor to get some pills to get high. We're living in a world where we have more pain clinics that are doing something for the community than we have churches that are making a difference to this world out here. I'm getting right where we're living at. It's all around us. It's everywhere that you look. This is not something you can turn your eye away from anymore. Wickedness has grown so much today that if you look around, it's going to come and try to attack on you. But friends, we must not look at this stuff we're dealing with here and forget about what gives us our purpose. My Lord, in the beginning, God created the landscape. He put air so that man could breathe. He provided a supply of livestock and animals so that we can have dominion over it. He supplied all that we would need to live. The water, the trees, the clouds in the sky, the sun and the moon. He formed everything that we would need before he ever brought us forth to live in it. And as he created us in the initial creation, we were walking in the full and pure purpose that God had intended. We were walking as Adam did with dominion over the animals. We were walking in the fellowship of God in innocence and purity. We were walking amongst having dominion over nature and letting everything come to us instead of us having to work for it. But as the fall of sin came upon man, this pure relationship we had, this unwavering purpose that was within us, was broken. And as you read in the Old Testament of how many people that rose to royalty but had no purpose, lived in sin and wickedness, God recognized through, I believe, the first up to the sixth chapter of Genesis, how the wickedness was growing by the day. Now, he already promised Noah through the rainbow he would not come by flood again. But we're coming on a day when God's going to call for those who remain. But there are people out there right now that do not know their purpose for life. They don't understand what they need to be doing. We've got teenagers out there that don't know what their occupation should be. We've got people out there that are looking for who they should be with. We've got people out there that are disjointed, and families can't be families, and friends can't be friends, and co-workers can't be co-workers because of all the inappropriateness that the devil is trying to kick in there and cause problems with. A neighbor back then, some of you elders can probably agree, is not a neighbor that you know now. Your neighbor back in the day would get you sugar if you called and asked for it. You remember the party lines? Somebody pick up and somebody else would be on there and be like, "Hey, honey, you got any eggs at your place?" "Why, yeah, I'll bring them over." I remember the day of neighbors. I remember knowing my neighbor's names when I was just a kid. They knew my names. They knew my family. You could go over and visit them and not have to worry about calling children's services on somebody. But now nobody can be trusted with anything. We hardly even can get along as families anymore. The devil puts everything in the world to cause us to be more concerned about the worldly cares instead of our godly purpose. If we live in sin and we give in to temptations, we're walking away from God's purpose and why he even made us. He didn't make you for you to destroy yourself. I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. If you beat yourself up all the time, he did not make you for that. He didn't make you to think less of anybody else. How could you even be worthy to think you were better than anybody? Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And I found that if you're good enough to form an opinion, you're good enough to make a difference. And God has blessed us. And people think that blessings are just to make us happy. Oh, honey, let me talk to you just for a minute. The blessings of God aren't just to make this over here better. It's to help you understand and realize what your purpose is. How many of you know that tonight? It's not just for you to come in here and dance, but it's to help you live every day in righteousness. It's for you to help live every day with a purpose. It reminds you that if God was good to you in that situation, then surely I can keep on standing through this one. Living in the purpose of God is righteousness. For to live in the purpose of God is to walk by the truth that he gives you. And walking by the truth shall what? Makes you free. Makes me want to dance. I don't know what it does to you. Now I want to bring these out to you. Some of you might want to write these down. This is what God gave me. In the way God originally created man, he gave us the purpose of our lives. You can read it throughout Genesis. He gave us the purpose of glorifying him and enjoying our fellowship. He called us to have a good relationship with others. He blessed Adam with a helpmate so that he could have someone to share a good relationship with, right? He has called us to work. There were things that, even though it was in plentiful supply, there were things that he had to do to reap the goodness that God had given. We walk in that same thing today. The harvest is full of potential. Listen, if you've ever wondered if you can have one of those take me out in the spirit, wake up, not know where I am experiences, the only person that's holding you back from that is yourself. Because the harvest is already there for you. But there's only a few that are willing to trust him with all of this over here. When you say that you're saved, you know what you're saying? I now live with a purpose. When you claim the blood of Christ, you know what you're saying? I'm no longer lost without direction. And when you live with a purpose, you know where you're going. Hallelujah. I know that he has saved me, and I live with purpose. But I'm not just wandering around, wondering where I'm going. I might suffer here a little while, but all the sufferings in this life are not even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. He said, we don't even know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come, but he's given us more than enough to keep on holding on while we're on our way to get there. Here we go. I hope you brought your boxing gloves because we're going to spar for a minute. He didn't call you to come to church without purpose. He didn't call you to come in and not know what you are to do. He didn't call you to hold back and say maybe another time. He didn't call you to walk and wonder when that door's going to be open. He called you to be looking for him. He called you to be looking for him. He called you to be looking for the door. He doesn't want you to wait on a door. He's wanting you to look for him so that he can lead you to your purpose. You didn't just stumble into your purpose. Joseph went a long way around, it seemed like, in this stuff. And the Lord's been working on me about writing a song about Joseph's life. But can you imagine, and you've asked that question, whether you've said it in the way he said it, but he looked at those that were exiting out of prison, and he said, will you please remember me? How many of you have ever felt alone in your fight? How many of you have ever felt like that nobody else understood your pain? Have you ever felt forsaken? I know that I have. And there's been times when I've looked to preacher to bail me out, but preacher couldn't do it for me. There was times when I looked for deacon to come by and give me a pat on the back, but the pat in the back didn't come. There was times I was looking for the phone call, but the phone call never rang. I made sure I had it off silent. It still didn't ring. I looked for text messages, but I had none for a week and a half. There's been times I've been looking just for an inspirational email, some kind of something to show me that somebody knows and remembers me. But when all is gone and no one else sees your pain, and when you're in the middle of all the chaos of the world, God gave you something that no matter where you may go, even in prison, that you would still know the purpose of your life. Because if he saved you, then you can walk in it. David said, if I make it up to heaven, I know you're going to be there. But if I'm had to make my bed in hell, I know you're there too, Lord. So how do we begin to execute the things that we found unfolding in the creation of man? Well, God gave it to me to give to you. Let's read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 from verse 13 to 14. While you're getting there, I want to tell you we're reading the words of Solomon, considered one of the most wise people that walked the earth. And in the middle of the words that he was writing, he wrote a lot of very sharp wisdom concerning conversation, concerning what to do when you encounter fools. How many of you have been around a fool before? How many scriptures are talking about don't mess with a fool? If you know they're going to bring you down, what are you doing? I'd rather have this many friends and know I have God on my side than to put my trust in a couple of fools. Verse 13 and 14 of chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes says, and this is Solomon's conclusion on the matter, and he opens up the first part of our purpose. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He's talking about the whole meaning of life. He said, fear God and keep his commandments. Obey him. Fear God and obey him. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That means that you can't have a tantrum when you're in trouble, because you can still have purpose when trouble, come on, somebody remember a man by the name of Jehoshaphat, when trouble was all around him, Jehoshaphat didn't throw a temper tantrum. He didn't cry for mommy. He got around and got everybody together and obeyed God and feared him, for he would rather be more afraid of the Lord and obey him than to be afraid of the enemies that were around him. So when I see people in trouble, I'm just baffled at the fact that they're more afraid of them than they are just to get up and obey the Lord. The true conviction of obedience is almost gone. People don't feel led and convicted to do a good work. They only want to do it if there's sin, something in it for them. The selfless act of compassion is the whole ministry of Jesus Christ. So if you're going to be like Christ, you're going to have to do it even when it takes your time away, when it takes your life away, when it takes your substance away, and it'll cause you to walk with a little bit of purpose. And people will know what you're all about. I don't want to be known as the guy that throws the tantrum. Oh, Lord in heaven, help me preach right now. You might look like you are aged and seasoned, but oh, friends, I've heard the voice of the tantrum all too many times before. I've heard a poor, pitiful me so many times. Country music is a multi-billion dollar industry off poor, pitiful me. I lost my dog, lost my woman, drink myself to death. I think that's the top three on the charts, right? They basically just rotate. We think we possess a right to have a tantrum when we're afraid of the enemy. But when we're doing that, we're losing our purpose. He didn't call you to walk in fear. And I'm telling you, when you're walking in fear, you're disobeying the commandment of God. That's a warning to some of you. You can get away with it for a little while. But when God gives you enough footing to keep yourself stood up, He wanted you to be established, not blown to and fro like some cheap old tree. I want to be something that somebody can lean on. My God, I want to be something that somebody can depend on. Is there anybody that's counting on you to be who you are in God tonight? If nobody's looking for you to obey Him, then you're not doing enough, because you should be doing enough that people become dependent on the good things that you have to offer. It should be that when you're not at the house of God, that people truly wonder where you are and miss you. You should walk with such a purpose that when you're not around anymore and you leave this walk of life, that people will feel an empty inside because they miss what you gave them. When Jesus left, He said, "Don't be grievous and afraid. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And where I go, there you may be also." So how do we glorify Him and fellowship with Him? We fear Him and obey Him. That is the whole conclusion. That's as plain as I can put it. Biscuits and gravy tonight. Everybody likes their biscuits and gravy different. For 20 years of my life, I'd had them the same old way. Then one day, I went over to my wife's family to eat it, and they said, "Here, put some tomatoes in it. That'll be good." And I was like, "What are you talking about? How dare you taint your biscuits and gravy with tomatoes? How dare you corrupt such a sanctity of breakfast?" I didn't really say that, but I was open enough to give it a shot. Because they sure made it look good, huh? Huh? Come on. If you want somebody to try out the good things that God's doing for you, you've got to make it look good enough that it'll make their mouth water, that it'll make them want a piece of what you've got inside. If you've got the blood of the Lamb, you should be telling somebody, you ought to try this Jesus. You ought to try being free from sin. You ought to try walking in the light of God. And I'm telling you, put some tomatoes on your biscuits and gravy. God wants to give you prayer language in a deeper way. You'll never know if it's good or not until you get in and try it for yourself. The Bible said, "Taste and see." You might forget the whole sermon, but I bet you're going to remember biscuits and gravy. Tomatoes, they're really good. I'm not hating on it. I actually enjoy it now. I put it in there every time now. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 17. How do we keep our minds in order? It's a good question, brother. I'm glad you're here to answer it. You keep your minds in order by having the proper perspective, the proper outlook, a vision. Was it Ezekiel that said, "Without a vision, that the people will perish"? Without perspective, you walk without purpose. And when you walk without purpose, you'll perish in your trouble. But aren't you glad God didn't leave us without purpose? 17th Psalm, 15th verse. We're reading the words of King David. King David had a lot, but he had a whole lot more to look forward to. Solomon was more concerned about what I am to do while I'm living. But David encouraged himself by having perspective of what was to come. We don't walk by the vision of worldly troubles. We walk by faith. Faith is perspective. Faith is looking at something. And even though it looks tough, but speaking to it and saying it's not going to stay this way. He said if you would just even speak to the fig tree, you could even have that to be no more. You don't have to look at the devil and say, here, come sit over here with me tonight. We're going to have another restless night together. We're going to worry and wander. Sometimes it's, you know, I mean, it happens in marriages, workplaces, everywhere. Sometimes it gets so crowded, you can have 2 feet. I've had 2 feet of room in the bed before me rolling around and can't get any sleep. And I'm like, I know it has to be her waking me up. No, she's sound asleep. She don't snore, but I can tell when she's in the zone, she gets that deep breath thing going on. You can be laying in bed, nothing to hinder you, and lose your sleep. You can be sitting at the job and supposed to be working on this, but you're still worried about this over here. You could be in a marriage and still be able to be happy, but you're dwelling on something that was a week ago. Come on, somebody. Without proper perspective, you're not walking in the direction God gave you. How do we turn around? Repent. We simply admit we're wrong. We simply say we're sorry. And when we finally get in the right direction, man, and sometimes it takes a while for some of us. Sometimes you got to learn the hard way. You come against the children of God, you're going to learn the hard way. You come against people that didn't deserve it, you're going to learn the hard way. If you're not going to say you're sorry, you're definitely going to pay for it. Every idle word is heard. You'll answer for what you do. Let's read this. As for me, I will behold thy face. He's talking about God in righteousness. And what did he say next? I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. I'm glad that when I close my eyes in death, that when I open my eyes again, I'm going to behold him. All the sickness that I laid down with will be gone. All the sorrow, all the pain, all that stuff in the pit, it'll be no more. There won't even have to be night again. Man won't have to rest his body. Therefore, there will be no night. For the spirit that is in you is alive continually and shall live and rejoice in the Lord forevermore. Amen. Haven't you ever wondered why your spirit never dies? Because what he put in you is eternal. Amen. Hallelujah. It's eternal. When you give up, the Spirit still says, I see something down in there that can come alive again. And your perspective of getting up again is what grace is.